Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. If you've been following the legislative session in Nashville this season, you may know that Democrats, which are in the minority, want to keep pushing for Medicaid expansion in Tennessee. They say this is a way to allow more low-income Tennesseans greater access to health care and the benefits that come from that. But go across the aisle to the majority party, and legislative Republicans are talking about something different. They want to use block grants, a special kind of federal funding that they say would eventually expand health care access to low-income Tennesseans without expanding the state's modified Medicaid program, which is called TennCare. Today, we'll take a look at block grants. What are they, how they work, and what's been proposed in Tennessee? Joining us across the table, once again, good to see Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello, Brandon.
As I said just a moment ago, block grants are a type of federal funding, but they're a specialized type of federal funding. What are they?
Well, block grants are a common form of what we call discretionary funding. Basically, block grants are fixed amounts of money that the federal government gives to the states for broadly outlined purposes, so to provide benefits and services. The appeal to certain people about block grants is this broader discretion to determine how to utilize the funds provided, and that's what the discussion is about here in Tennessee. The thing about block grants in Medicaid is they represent a major shift in how Medicaid would be paid for. Currently, Medicaid and Medicare are paid through what we call entitlement funding.
We've talked about entitlement funding before and how that applies to Medicaid and Medicare. Let's get a refresher on that.
Great. Well, entitlement funding obligates the federal government to pay for covered services or benefits for anyone enrolled in the program, Medicaid, Medicare. Funding is open-ended, not part of the federal budget-making process, which in today's environment can be a major advantage, and it's not linked to an annual budget limit. So let's contrast this with block grants. They must be renewed periodically. When funds are exhausted, additional funds are generally not available during the same budget cycle. The Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, block grant program, several years ago in Georgia, they sent notices to parents saying, no more benefits, we're out of money. Now, the other thing that we can see is those that receive block grants being held hostage to a pretty dysfunctional budget-making process. So we could potentially see Medicaid getting into the same mess.
All right, so that's the difference between entitlement funding and block grants. What's currently being proposed in the legislature? What do they have in mind for Tennessee?
Well, good question. We're very early in the process. The process will ultimately require a detailed waiver being submitted to CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. At present, we're a long ways away from this. The devil's in the details, and the details at this point, which is why I'm dancing around this, are very sketchy. It's not been widely stated, but it has been hinted that using the block grant to extend some sort of coverage to the working poor may entail switching the entire TennCare program to a block grant program. That's something that definitely will need to be explored.
Would you walk us through what we do know about the proposal that's been submitted in the legislature?
Okay, I'll do that by saying where we are now and where we might be going with this. TennCare, which is our full replacement Medicaid program, it's the program, was created under a longstanding waiver from CMS. Then we came along with the Affordable Care Act, and after the Supreme Court ruling, the option for Medicaid expansion. 34 states and the District of Columbia have expanded Medicaid. Tennessee is one of 16 states that are not. We know that Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, Speaker of the House Glenn Cassidy, and the majority of Republican legislators oppose Medicaid expansion. So we're looking for additional ways to say, how do we get more Tennesseans that have coverage? There's about 280,000 to 300,000 Tennesseans that could benefit from some sort of expansion. We know that Medicaid block grants failed during the 2017 congressional debates about ACA, repeal, replace, and repair, and Medicaid got caught up in that fight. But when we looked at Medicaid block grants then, we found that the majority of Americans did not favor moving to block grants, and the majority favored or had a good opinion of the Medicaid program. So why are we talking about block grants? Well, block grants are touted as a way to save money and foster innovation. The idea that I hear a lot is that freedom from federal rules and regulations will spur state innovation, reduce administrative and other costs.
There's this idea that states can play around with this a little bit, modify things, change things to fit their unique populations in a way that supporters of block grants say you can't get with a one-size-fits-all approach. But if I talk to an opponent of block grants, what are they going to tell me?
Okay, well, first off, I subscribe to the theory that states can be incubators of innovation. And I think that's probably more true with given the chaos that we have going on at the federal level. But I think it's important for us to open the curtain when the cost savings of block grants are touted. I don't think block grants are inherently bad. It's the way that they're used. Undoubtedly, states could use them in a very good way. We don't want to thwart innovation. But what we frequently see, and was prominent in the failed congressional block grant proposals for Medicaid, is savings that are touted are really related to cuts in enrollment, benefits, and provider reimbursement. State flexibility definitely should be fostered, but not to erode benefits and consumer protections and the number of beneficiaries. During a recent Knoxville legislative forum, a Tennessee legislator gave voice to a frequently cited concern about block grants. The concern is that the flexibility requested would be used to eliminate protections and benefits afforded by the ACA. So what am I talking about? You could be denied coverage, you could be charged more, or denied payment for services rendered because of a pre-existing condition. And that indeed is what was mentioned at the recent forum. We could save a lot of money by not covering maternity care, so much pharmacy care, so much mental health care.
What else do we know about the ideas about block grants as they're taking shape here in Tennessee?
Well, again, very nascent period of time, but at the same forum, Senator Richard Briggs discussed what we call per capita funding. Per capita funding is a variant of block grants. Per capita funding provides for a fixed annual amount of spending, so it's like a block grant, but it's per beneficiary or covered individuals. And some of the things that are cited as perhaps advantages of per capita funding is they could or they do, I'm not sure which, allow for adjustments based on changes in enrollment, but not changes in utilization. That does not change. Senator Briggs is also promoting the idea of inflationary adjustments, as well as per capita funding being in broad bands based on the beneficiary subtypes. It doesn't cost as much in Medicaid to cover a child as it does someone in a long-term care facility, and he wants that to be recognized. I would like to know more about the basic premise cited in support of block grants of Tennessee. It would be great if we had the legislators sitting here with us. Tennessee's excellent financial position is a source of pride and often referenced as a reason for giving the state flexibility to manage Medicaid. Hey, if we do a good job with TennCare, we could do a good job with block grants. And I agree that the history right now, the history and the current performance, TennCare is a well-run program. But a few points are really important. Across the country, the 2007 to 2013 spending growth per Medicaid acute care, cutting out long-term care, was 3.1%, where we saw 4.6 nationally. So that says to me Medicaid's already pretty skinny. TennCare's administrative costs are a low and enviable 4.2%. All this leads me to ask, what innovations are proponents of Medicaid block grants referencing when they talk about cost savings? Savings are one thing, cuts are another thing.
Another important question that helps inform our discussion today, Tennessee would have to get permission from the federal government to make these changes, to start funding Medicaid more or entirely through block grants. There's an important legal question. We don't know if this is possible.
Yeah, we don't know, and that's the answer. At this juncture, the federal government has not completely fleshed out their Medicaid block grant plans. They're still working on it. Remember, Congress controls the purse strings of the federal government. I think any attempt to cut Congress out of the process would be met with legal challenges. The answer is stay tuned.
Dr. Carol Myers, thank you so much for coming by today to shed some light on Medicaid block grants, what they are and how they work. As you said, lots more to stay tuned for as the legislative session, of course, continues to unfold out in Nashville. Dr. Myers, thanks so much.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.